John, we've actually talked about the economy with a number of different people on the show. I think it's fair to say that even economists who specialize in this are kind of confused, and they're not really sure what all the economic indicators mean. Or...
Well, but here's a statistic I'd love to know. How many economists are renters, and how many actually own their home?
See, that's the thing.
That
when the rubber hits the road and you have to make decisions that impact you personally, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
So does Greenspan own, or is he a renter?
That's
I know the answer.
Yeah, you know that. He's probably a multiple owner. But this is a question that we wanted to ask to you, and we wanted to get some answers for you as well. We started this conversation yesterday with our listeners. Jimmy in Oklahoma called us.
My girlfriend and I are actually looking to buy right now because for $700, $800 a month for rent, we could spend about $550 a month to buy a house of the same quality. So it just makes more sense for us to buy a house right now.
So
we're going to Oklahoma.
We're wondering if you're making decisions right now about whether to rent or buy. Give us your story at 8778-MY-TAKE. And we're joined now by Takeaway contributor Beth Kobliner with some tips and by Sarah Hurley again. They just bought some property last year after renting for their entire adult lives. That's right, Sarah, right?
Yes.
Their first home.
Yes, first home.
Beth, I wanted you to read a couple of responses that we got on Facebook before we get started. We asked, are you going to rent or are you going to buy? Suzanne Jablonski writes, who can afford to do either? I know I can't and don't see any relief in sight. Darren Maloney writes, what am I waiting for? More money. And I think, although you heard from Jimmy saying this, it makes sense for him to buy, I think there's two sides to this coin here. It's going to make sense for some people to buy and some to rent, right?
That's right. You know, it clearly is an historically great time to buy, and it's really annoying for people who don't have enough money to keep hearing that time and time again. But the facts remain that interest rates are incredibly low. The average mortgage is now 4.5% 30-year fixed rate loans. Home prices are down about 20% from the peak of 2006. There are all these very great indicators making it, if you have good credit and you have the money for a down payment, yes, it's a great time to buy a home. But if you don't have that money, and if you have a great rental, by the way, and if you live in particular areas, there's still areas of the country, Honolulu, for example, or San Jose or Seattle, there's a great article in the Christian Science Monitor, and we put it up on the website, takeaway.org, that talks about different parts of the country where it still makes actually more sense to rent, because there's some great deals on rentals right now. And if you're not planning to live in a home for at least 3 to 5 years, then renting actually can save you money.
As opposed to when people used to buy a home, turn it over within 2 to 3 years
exactly,
and still make money.
Exactly, because it's not necessarily a great investment. Yes, house prices are down from the peaks of 2006, but nobody knows if they're going to keep going down for several more years, if not, you know, a lot more for the next few years to come. So if you're going to stay in a home for a long time as a place to live, it's a novel concept, but if you're going to buy a home to live in a home, then buying can make a lot of sense. But if not, then renting can still make quite a bit of sense.
Well, Sarah, you've been in your home at this point long enough to get past the honeymoon phase. I imagine something has broken. You've had to take care of property taxes, I'm sure. Are you still looking at that buying that home as a great decision?
Well, we were, because we were actually looking for something for the long term. Mm. And we wound up being able to buy the kind of house we wanted to live in for a long time at a price we could actually afford now. So we were also just lucky that we could cover, we understood we needed to cover expenses because a lot of our plumbing broke about a month after we moved in.
Oh, no.
Because the house is about 100 years old.
Yeah. Well, Beth, this is the question. What is the formula for figuring out how much more you will pay in things like taxes and, in some cases, utilities, since often rent includes water or other things, and repairs? Is there math that helps you really figure out whether renting is better than buying?
I know. I always have these good, like, formulas. But the bottom line for this one is it's so case-specific. And you have to think about, you know, the only kind of rule of thumb that everybody agrees on is if you're not going to stay there for at least 3 to 5 years, I would say go for 5 years. You're not going to recoup the costs of closing costs, moving fees, all those extra costs that we've all experienced. Not to mention, when you're a renter, you call often the landlord who will come, or somebody will come fix things, the janitor. When you're buying a home, it's that, broken you know, plumbing that you have to pay for yourself, and that's the huge difference that people don't really realize. But again, if you can't afford to buy, this is the time. And there are places where you can find homes for, you know, as little right now as, you know, $50,000, $100,000 in areas of the country that we never thought that possible.
But Beth, on the renting issue, would you advise that people negotiate more? For instance, we've heard that in certain areas, developers bringing new condos and new properties to market can't sell them and so are forced to rent. So there's a downward pressure, it would seem, on rents because the supply is going up.
Yeah, you're right, John. That's like, that's such a great point. And again, that we've talked a lot about negotiation and how some people are so, it's very difficult for some people, but now is the time on rent and buying. You have to negotiate. You know, in Sarah's case, she bought a foreclosed property, and we talked a little bit about, you know, how it's difficult in some cases to make good on somebody else's misfortune. But in this recession, we're seeing a lot of foreclosed homes. We're seeing developers who have a lot of properties. And whether it comes to buying or rentals, now is the time to try to negotiate and see if you can get a lower price.
Sarah, are you saving money?
No, but we hadn't planned. Well, we're saving money for repairs, but the house is, we lived in a much cheaper, smaller, worse rental, so the house was more expensive.
Well, it sounds to me, Beth, like what you're saying is don't look at your house and as investment anymore. Just try and balance out exactly how much the costs are going to be and figure it out based on only that and how stable you want to be in your living environment as opposed to how much you could sell it for.
That's right. I mean, I think that was always the case, but we got so enwrapped in this bubble of housing prices when they really took off in the late 90s and kept going up and up and up. And on the website, the Takeaway website, we have this great housing chart that looks at it like a roller coaster, how it took off and now it's coming down, and we don't know how far down it's going to go. So the point is buy a house to live in a house.
Beth Koblenner, Takeaway personal finance contributor, and Sarah Hurley, a recent home buyer about a year ago in August and lives in Minneapolis. Continue this conversation for us. Walk us through your thoughts if you're making this decision between renting or buying, or if you've recently made it, what helped you decide? Head over to the takeaway.org and weigh in. And as Beth said, she's got some tips and some warnings for would-be home buyers and cautious renters. That's at our blog at thetakeaway.org.